wonderful time to join Joan Lewis. Joan, welcome back. Well, you wouldn't associate Pope with a Harley Davidson, would you?
No, you certainly wouldn't. But, you know, on the 110th anniversary of the company, the Harley Davidson Company, quite a number of bikers were in Rome. The Pope was given a Harley Davidson. He decided to give it up for auction, and then he earmarked...
In aid of charity.
He earmarked the money for the Roman food kitchen, the Caritas Roma. And so this week, on Thursday, the motorbike went up for auction in Paris, and in dollars, the Harley was auctioned for $328,342.
Of course, the Harley Davidson has Francesco written on it.
Oh, it does. He signed it, or it has Francesco in his signature written on it. So that is wonderful news for the soup kitchen. And may I be the first to say, to make a bet, that when this soup kitchen is renovated and opens, guess who is going to be there? I'm sure that Pope Francis will, with his great love for the poor and underprivileged, he will make a point of being there. So
that was Thursday, but let's go back to Sunday.
Oh my gosh, what a week this was.
Feast of the Presentation.
February 2nd is the Feast of the Presentation, and the Vatican, the Catholic Church, celebrates the World Day for Consecrated Life. And then, as an interesting but small bit of trivia for February 2nd, that is the day on which traditionally the Vatican takes down the Christmas tree and nativity scene. It was wonderful. The Pope, at both the Mass that he celebrated in St. Peter's and later at the Angelus, by the way, in the pouring rain. On Sunday, he spoke about religious life, and he highlighted in particular the great value that nuns bring to the church. And he said, what would happen if there were no nuns? No nuns in hospitals, missions, charitable institutions, schools. He asked, can you imagine a church without nuns? And answered his own question, saying, no, it's unthinkable. And obviously, he did talk a great deal of the need for the presences of nuns, of religious people. And he said they fortify and renew the commitment to the spread of the gospel, of Christian education, of charity towards the neediest, of contemplative prayer, of commitment to human formation, and the spiritual formation of the young. Wonderful words, and the Pope did have words of sympathy at the Angelus for the citizens of Rome, the region of Lazio, the region of Tuscany, who have tremendously suffered from the rain.
Anyway, Joan, from Sunday to Tuesday, Monday was a quiet day. We went from nuns to something connected to a queen, Queen Elizabeth.
Announcement made that and it actually was made by Buckingham Palace, and of course confirmed by the Vatican, that Pope Francis will welcome Queen Elizabeth on April 3rd. She's had a long-standing invitation to lunch with Italian President Napolitano. This was finally a day that could be worked out. Obviously, she said she would not even think of coming to Rome without meeting the new Pope. And she has met John Paul on several occasions, and then, of course, Pope Benedict, we know well, on his 2010 trip to the U.K. So,
and when she was younger, she met John 23rd.
That's right. She did,
and
indeed,
because
she's been queen for 60-some years. So you look back at the men who have been popes, and she has met them all, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then also Tuesday was the presentation of Pope Francis's first Lenten message. The theme is, he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. And it was very interesting because in the press office presentation they explained what that means. How do you become rich by...
It seems a contradiction, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, by being poor.
Contradiction in words, yeah.
And, you know, it's only 640 words, the document, 7 pages. It can be read in 10 minutes or under. I urge our reader, go online, go to the press office, click on Pope Francis, read his message. It's very beautiful, simple, heartfelt, and very, very understandable. And what's interesting, the Pope focuses on a word. He speaks of destitution and saying it's poverty without faith. He stressed the difference between poverty and destitution. And he said it's poverty without faith, without support, without hope. And there's three types of destitution, he says, material, moral, and spiritual. He explained moral destitution as slavery to vice and sin that causes hope and dignity to disappear. And then it was very interesting, and this was underlined in the press conference based on a question from a journalist. The Pope wrote, in such cases, which we just mentioned, slavery to vice and sin, he said moral destitution can be considered impending suicide. And then as I was giving a presentation of the letter, I read it with great joy and great ease. I defined what I called a verbal selfie. Pope Francis wrote, the Lord asks us to be joyous heralds of this message of mercy and hope. It's thrilling to experience the joy of spreading this good news, sharing the treasure entrusted to us, consoling broken hearts, and offering hopes to our brothers and sisters experiencing darkness. And frankly, if you want a sentence or two that describes Pope Francis, I think that's it. I don't think he intended to describe himself, but I think he did. So
that takes us to beautiful Wednesday. Message.
Yeah. Wednesday, the usual general audience.
But poured again.
But poured. And the interesting thing is, the disabled, those who, there's always disabled present at the audience, they were brought into the Paul VI Hall. And Pope Francis went in to see them first and chatted and embraced, as is his wont. And then he went into St. Peter's Square, being just a few minutes late for that audience. But a sea of umbrellas, and the Pope commented on the weather. He simply began by saying, it's really not a nice day, is it? So, but I think that was a wonderful gesture to visit the disabled in the Paul VI Hall. And again, the Pope expressed solidarity with the people of Rome and of Lazio and Tuscany who have suffered so tremendously. I mean, oh my gosh, you had to see the Tiber River this week. It was like, when is it going to actually overflow the banks? Lots of homes, basements, stores, even restaurants, you know, flooded. But the focus, of course, of the audience was the Pope continuing his catechesis on the sacraments. And he reflected on the Eucharist, calling it, of course, the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. And he gave this in-depth presentation of the Eucharist, but then remarkable words as he departed from his prepared text. Pope Francis said, because the Eucharist is a gift, and this, he puts his paper down, he's looking straight out at the people. He said, that is why it is so important to go to Mass on Sundays, to go to Mass, not only to pray, but to receive communion, the bread which is the body of Christ, who saves us, forgives us, and unites us with the Father. And it's interesting because if you watch people, they're watching the Pope, many actually sitting there, if his catechesis, the main one, is in Italian. A lot of people might not know what he's saying, but they seem to perk up when they see him put the text down, knowing he's going to say something off the cuff, which will have probably, and often does, a much more human value to it. So
the Pope is extremely popular right now, but the Vatican wasn't so popular this week.
Oh, my word.
Yes,
well,
we also criticized by the United Nations on...
Well, a document came out from the United Nations that, boy, if you go online and look for Vatican, United Nations, you're going to find not only that document, but plenty of very strong reaction. What's very important to know about the document that came out from the United Nations, on January 16th, to go back a bit, at the headquarters of the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, who's the Holy See observer to the UN offices in Geneva, he was joined by Bishop Charles Scicluna, who for years worked at the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and he was the prosecutor of clerical sex abuse cases, which was the subject of that day-long meeting in Geneva and very much of the UN document on the Holy See. So these two gentlemen, or these two prelates, were questioned for an entire day by the Committee for the Rights of the Child over the clerical sex abuse. And by the way, Bishop Scicluna, he's now an auxiliary in his native Malta. But the document on Wednesday, the United Nations released its findings of apparently years of of research, of these meetings we just spoke about in Geneva, and recommendations. It released its finding and recommendations on the Geneva meeting, as well as, this is the title, concluding observations on the second periodic report of the Holy See. And I went online in my blog and I put a link to that document for all my people to read. And the Vatican, of course, issued a statement within nanoseconds of this document coming out and noting the title of it. And by the way, this concluding observations not only regards the Holy See, they point that out right away in their response. It involves, quote, five states parties to the Convention on the Rights of the Child, naming them Congo, Germany, Portugal, Russian Federation, and Yemen. And the Holy See says in its statement, it regrets to see in some points of the concluding observations an attempt to interfere with Catholic Church teaching on the dignity of the human person and the exercise of religious freedom.
Anyway, yeah. Joan, on a brighter note,
yes,
we had a message from the Pope for World Youth Day 2014, didn't we?
Oh, well, thank the Lord. Yes, you're right. I end on a bright note. It was announced last November that Pope Francis had chosen the Beatitudes as themes for the 2014, 15, and 16 World Youth Days. And so this was the first such message. Actually, it's a wonderful message. You hear, and in your mind's eye, you see Pope Francis as you read the words of the Holy Father. So, we start out on the Beatitudes. And what is very interesting, early on in the message, the Pope says it's a challenge today for today's young people to live according to the Beatitudes because it means going against the tide and being witnesses of revolutionary innovation. And this almost dovetails with the story we just told, the difficulty on the world scene of professing our beliefs. And the Pope said, as you cannot be a real Christian and think small about life, he urges young people to resist, and I love this, urges young people to resist low-cost offers of happiness and to have the courage to be truly happy, a gift that only God can give us. And actually, the high point of the message, because, of course, we can't go into, we'd love to, but can't go into every paragraph. At the end of the message, Pope Francis reminds young people that 30 years have passed since the cross of the Jubilee of the Redemption was entrusted to young people. And he said that anniversary is April 22nd. So put that on your calendar, folks. That symbolic act, he said, by John Paul II was the beginning of the great youth pilgrimage that has since crossed the five continents. Then Pope Francis told young people that after John Paul's canonization, which we know is April 27th, an event marked by intense joy, he said, John Paul, St. John Paul, will be the great patron of the World Youth Days, which he inaugurated and always supported. And you know, I think we have to end this week's news summary on that wonderful note. So, two anniversaries, one bigger than the other, both involving World Youth Day in April, and very soon, we're going to have St. John Paul and the very next World Youth Day. World Youth Days, by the way, are always on a local level on Palm Sunday.
And then there's an international.
Right. And the next international is 2016 in Krakow, Poland. Oh, my word. Yes. St. John Paul, Krakow, Poland. I don't even want my imagination can't go there.
Thank you very much, Joan. And welcome back.
Oh, it's great.
And you are listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome, who's just brought us the Vatican Week in review.